Here's your weekly dose of something geeky. It's the Geek Cave Skypecast, brought to you by Shirtosaurus.com.
And welcome to an extra special Geek Cave podcast, or Geek Cave Skypecast in this instance. I'm Darren.
Your turn, Greg.
Oh, sorry. I'm Greg.
And I'm Chad.
Greg's kind of new to this whole thing.
Well, as comic guy, Greg, technically I think you get to be second.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah,
Greg DeVries. Usually I just let Ben say everything on the Fanatics podcast, so.
Yeah, Greg DeVries is joining us from the Game Fanatics. He's filling in for Justin because we needed someone to talk comics for us because the unthinkable has happened. And no, I'm not talking about Batman versus Superman getting delayed till 2016, although that did happen too.
Oh, yeah, that did. Oh, yeah, another 3 years off.
Yeah.
But that one was at least moderately expected that was going to hit a delay.
Well, they didn't want to compete with Avengers 2.
Well, I'm sure that they didn't want to compete with Avengers 2, but at the same time, the news we've gotten is that they're adding so many. There's no way they were going to wrap that all up with the scheduling.
Yeah. So, but really the reason that I've called you all here today is to talk about the unthinkable as far as ABC and 20th Century Fox and Warner Brothers finally all got together and we're getting the 60s Batman on DVD.
That's right. They finally were able to remove all the collective heads from the various collective asses. Sort out royalties, and we're getting one of the greatest camp shows ever.
Now,
on disc.
Now, Greg, I know that you're primarily a Marvel guy, but Batman is you're a big Batman fan, right?
Oh yeah, I love Batman. You know, I've been going reading the New 52 and a lot of older stuff, so you know, I'm excited. I mean, I did watch a little bit on TV when I was younger, and I'm actually really excited to watch again with a new perspective on it. So
yeah, well, I'm hoping that there's some documentaries. I know that Adam West actually released commentary tracks for every episode.
Wow.
that you can go and buy from him. And I hope that those are included on the disc. Because
I hope so too.
The commentary from the movie is spectacular. And if it's anything like that, it's going to be, you know, head and shoulders above everything else.
Well, mm-hmm. The commentary from the movie is a drinking game in and of itself.
It really is.
You know, drink every time Adam West does something Adam Westian.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. 20 or 30 minutes in, maybe?
Well, just the shark scene alone. The shark scene alone.
The fact that there is a shark scene.
Actually, I think the shark scene is also the only time that Burt Ward actually gets to be funny.
Yeah.
During the comment. The rest of the time, he's trying to be serious. Well, as serious as Burt Ward can be with Adam West.
Mm-hmm.
It's his, I think, only line in the whole thing where he's funny. He's like, yeah, watch Batman beat the shark off.
Well, I imagine that Adam probably leaned over to Bert and said, shut up, this is my show. but yeah, so this is really, really big news for a lot of people. I mean, our generation, you know, we grew up seeing it in reruns and whatnot, the people that saw it when it initially aired on TV. And there's there was even like the documentary Holy Batmania. There's a big, you know, 30, 40 year belief that this was never going to happen.
Oh, and the retrospective Return to the Batcave.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I remember that one was fun too.
Yeah.
This has probably been one of the most sought after TV series. When you can find, you know, Street Sharks.
Yeah.
the entire series for $5.
Yeah.
You know, and Adam West Batman hasn't made it. That's a problem.
Yeah.
The details are scant. It seems that Conan O'Brien kind of accidentally let the cat out of the bag.
I don't think he accidentally did anything.
Well, he probably did it on purpose. But he tweeted it out, and then immediately Warner Brothers has to come out and say, okay, yes, it's happening, but we don't know yet. Now we've heard it'll be this fall, and it'll be in one giant box set.
I'd say that's appropriate. Why would anyone buy just season one? Or I can understand people wanting only season three with the Batgirl, but
yeah, Yvonne Craig was one of my first crushes. So
Really, mine was Eartha Kitt.
Mm.
After that was Drew Barrymore, but she was never Catwoman.
Greg?
Oh, jeez. Put me on the spot here. I don't know.
Well, there's only like two or three females that were ever in Batman that
were. Yeah, I don't remember any of them. So.
Well, don't say Dick's aunt, whatever you do.
Okay, that sounds like a bad idea.
Not Aunt Harriet, so.
Can I just say Barbara Gordon generic?
Yeah. I mean, any Barbara Gordon's good.
Yeah. So.
But we don't.
I do have to wonder with, you know, the recent shift, especially with the Nolan and the New 52 Batman to a more, you know, darker, more violent type thing. What would people who kind of, you know, familiar with that go back and watch this, kind of what their thoughts would be?
Oh,
you know?
They're going to think it's stupid. They're totally going to think it's stupid, and that's totally their problem.
It is, but it is in a good way. It's, you know, the difference between stupid and camp, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Well, I could see somebody who, say you grew up on 80s and 90s Batman, which yeah. I would guess probably all three of us did.
Mm-hmm.
And then you watch something like the 60s Batman, I would almost say that you get more of a charm aspect out of it. It's like, oh, how quaint things were in the 60s when Batman didn't have to be gritty in order to get the job done.
The only thing
missing from Batman's, you know, outfit is a star that says sheriff or deputy on it.
You know, I don't think we've ever had the word quaint in a Geek Cave episode before.
You're welcome.
Thank you for that.
Very much, you know, bringing back the golden age of comics.
The golden age, yeah. And, you know, it's silly, it's goofy, but that means it's, you know, it's kind of safe for the whole family because a lot of people they kind of shied away from Nolan's trilogy if they had small children or whatnot,
right.
You know.
It's because, understandable.
Yeah, so. I mean, you know, I don't want little Timmy to see Two-Face get his, you know, Harvey Dent get his face set on fire, but... Cesar Romero and clown makeup that doesn't even obscure his mustache. Yeah, I'll go for that.
Actually, I just started rewatching the series this morning.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. My 4.5-month-old daughter shut up as soon as the music came on.
Really?
Well, it's bright, it's colorful.
Yeah, okay, yeah, shiny. So.
It's fast-paced. Nice. She gets the same look whenever we watch Doctor Who.
Yep.
And Star Trek.
And Game of Thrones.
Firefly. I don't have Game of Thrones. Because I don't have HBO.
Yeah.
And
I was more joking about, you know, the whole, you know, tits and violence rather than, you know.
I see. I see what well at 4.5 months old I really don't care what she watches right now. because I'm one, a horrible parent, and two, I'm fairly certain she's gonna remember none of it.
I can see it now. 20 years later in therapy, she has these flashbacks to Game of Thrones.
He just killed everyone.
That was the reddest wedding I've ever seen.
After that, that changed my perspective of weddings from then on out. So I was so terrified to go to any of them.
Yeah. All right. So obviously, we're hoping for like really good commentary.
I love especially you more than just the episodes. You know, make it a good special collection. Make it like the definitive, you know, collection.
Pack it. Do like a special edition and pack it with like I don't know a feature that teaches you the Bat-2-see or something. Something like that. Maybe like an ultra, like the Batman utility belt edition or something.
I would be fine with just one of the I'm assuming a DVD release rather than a Blu-ray release.
At least DVD, yeah.
I'm not going to go and get it on Blu-ray unless there are special features added onto the Blu-ray.
Right.
But I would love to see a bonus disc that goes into your computer, like a CD-ROM kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
and has, like, all the lists. So, like, you want to know how many episodes Frank Gorshin was Riddler.
Yeah.
You know, here's mm-hmm. all of them listed straight down. You know, just some of the weird stats you get. Okay, there were 14 window cameos. Here's who they were.
Yeah.
And where they showed up.
I want a list of every...
Or, like, the old MTV, I think it was MTV or VH1 did that dating show where they did, like, the pop-ups
everywhere.
Yeah, the
pop-up video, yeah.
Make a pop-up special feature so that during the episode, you know, some select episodes, it'll just pop up with random trivia.
I want a collection of every exclamation that both Robin and Chief O'Hara had ever uttered.
Every single alliteration done by the Penguin.
Exactly.
Warner Brothers, I hope you listen.
We know they do. We also know
that they're giving you comic gold.
We also know that now Nintendo's listening because a couple of Nintendo producers are following us on Twitter. So hi, we're going to be getting to you guys in a minute. Hang on.
And welcome.
Yeah, welcome. Welcome to the podcast. Share it with your friends. But yeah,
especially those who make lots of money and are willing to help out the little guy.
And you know, Target's going to probably have their own special edition, so I am imagining that they'll have a clamshell case shaped like the Adam West cowl.
That would be hilarious.
That'd be the one I'd buy.
Well, you sure you're not going to have one that's like that's actually the Batmobile?
Ooh.
Oh, that would be...
See, we're giving them more ideas.
Marvel, that would be cool.
Marvel did do that whole Phase 1 thing with the cube.
Yeah, so. that was pretty sweet. So that was actually a very cool, solid packaging job. So. Yeah.
And right now, all the DC's done for packaging is, oh, look, here's Batman's head. So, hopefully... And we're all just dreaming because, you know, this is going to sell really well.
Actually, you know, at the very end of the credits where you see it's the Batman silhouette where it's actually Batman's face in the cowl and then his arms spread out and it reads Batman.
Yeah.
I'm actually seeing a 17 inch, you know, statue of that. And then the discs slide in vertically on top.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So that it sits on your shelf as a display piece.
Well, if any of our listeners are Etsy fans, get on that. Because that sounds pretty cool. But, you know, switching gears. So, you know, we're excited about Batman. Unfortunately, not very many people are excited about the Wii U. Nintendo just recently released their sales figures, and they were estimating that through March 2014, they were going to sell 9 million Wii Us. You know, it's a reasonable number. The console had been on the market since late 2012, you know. They've adjusted that to 2.8 million.
Shoo. That's a big drop.
Say that again. How much was the difference?
6.2 million difference.
Jeez.
Wasn't it like another 4.5 million drop for the 3DS sales?
Yeah, 4.5 million drop. But the 3DS is still selling. 3DS was the best-selling console of 2013.
And it will probably be for 2014 by the end of the year.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, right now Sony and Xbox One are kind of both hauling ass. Microsoft won in December. Sony was the fastest to a million. But it's obvious that the Wii U's in trouble. In fact, it's such an interesting situation because this is like the biggest loss Nintendo has suffered in quite some time. And Nintendo President Satoru Iwata even went on record as saying that they're going to look at maybe doing something with smartphones and tablets.
Wow.
Oh, they're going to do smart glass?
No, yeah, I don't know what that means, though, because the Wii U already kind of is the smart glass idea.
I was going to say, unless they're going to switch over and say, okay, well, we've got the Wii U tablet, you know, that still... Or the Wii U controller with the touchscreen that still works the way that they always work. Or now you can sync up your iPad mini and do the same thing, and you can do it in another state.
Yeah. Maybe kind of like a PlayStation Now thing or a remote play thing.
Yeah. I mean, unless they're going to go that route, I don't see the point of phones and tablets.
Yeah.
Although you got to admit, it would be pretty sweet to be able to pop out your... You know, your Android or your iPad when you're on a road trip, you know, to Tennessee or something, and say, "Oh well, kind of want to play the new Mario Brothers."
Yeah.
Did I leave that in the machine? I think I did.
Well, I can even see them going the route of using the virtual console on mobile devices like tablets or something like that, because you know a lot. Either you have or you know someone who has jailbroken their iPhone so they can play Mario on it. And, you know, this would be a very viable thing. Because people for years have been asking Nintendo, please, go third party or something. And I don't think Nintendo's going to go third party.
Well, it wouldn't really be in their best interest.
Yeah.
Them staying first party is what keeps people buying their hardware.
Yeah.
I mean, if I could get Mario on the PlayStation, I would never own a Nintendo console.
Yeah. And to be fair, you know, Nintendo really knows how to make their hardware sing. And they show it with every first party release. But the problem that we're seeing with the Wii U is not even Mario, not even like the newest Mario game, it was just barely in the top 10 in Japan when it launched.
Which is really a shame, because it was a fantastic game to play.
Oh, it is.
I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, so. Greg just had his first Wii U experience, what was it, last week?
Yeah, over the weekend, yeah. When Dubai's house, when we played the Wii U Mario for a long time, it was really fun. Especially having four people at once, it was great co-op time.
You say, last month I had my Tookus thoroughly handed to me by Darren over and over and over again, and I enjoyed just about every minute of it. By about the ninth time, it was getting a little old. What can you do against somebody who's had the thing for its entire life?
And, you know, it's a shame, because 2014 looks like there could be some really good exclusives coming for the Wii U. You've got X, which is based off the Xenogears series. You've got Bayonetta 2, which is going to be an exclusive. Of course, you've got Smash Brothers and Mario Kart. Hyrule Warriors, which is Zelda meets Dynasty Warriors. I mean, there are some really good things on the way, but this report has thrown all of that into question now, because now people are wondering, will there even be a Wii U come E3? And, you know, it's a really staggering drop. I don't think they're going to go that route. I think, if anything, Nintendo will probably limp along long enough to maybe put out a console more close to the specs of the PS4 and the Xbox One.
They'll start making playing cards.
They've done it before.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, that's why I brought you guys in on this one is, Chad, you're primarily a Sony guy. Greg, you're primarily a PC guy. I wanted to see if you guys had any ideas. What could Nintendo do to sell you on a Wii U?
Honestly, for me, when it comes down to not just the Wii U, but any system, is what games can you give me, you know, what experience that I can't get elsewhere, you know? So really, for me, what Nintendo needs to do is keep making the games, but they need to get them out quicker. They need to beat the PS4 and the Xbox One in getting these great first-party exclusives out. You know, say, hey, you know, we've got all these great games, whereas you got other consoles, you got a couple ports, graphics ups, but as far as, you know, we can play with four ports of Mario, you know, in the same room,
right,
or elsewhere, you know, Smash Brothers, you know, get Smash Brothers out. Get, that's the other thing, is get the Nintendo characters out there. Get the next Donkey Kong Country, you know, Kirby, Mario, all that, you know?
Because
those characters will sell, you know?
Yeah, for the love of God, give us another Metroid game.
Right, exactly. How long has it been since another actual Metroid, you know? I mean, not counting Other M.
Well, see, I was one of the five people who liked Other M.
I didn't like the story. Yeah.
I liked the gameplay. The story was meh.
I'll give you that. Yeah. So,
but or Star Fox. Where the hell is Star Fox? You know, that kind of
exactly.
thing.
Exactly. You know, for the love of God, Earthbound. Come on.
We could use another Earthbound.
I mean, you have all these characters evidenced by Smash Brothers, you know. Give us the games then for them, you know? Remind us why we like these characters, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, like Donkey Kong Country Returns and Kirby's Epic Yarn, those kind of 2D side-scrollers, you know, those sold, you know?
Yeah. Chad, what about you?
Well, the idea I'd heard earlier, actually, you already kind of touched on it with the next Metroid or whatnot, but what about just a Metroid All-Stars? Re-release the previous ones in HD, kind of what the Wind Waker way.
And like what they did with the Prime Trilogy on the Wii.
Yeah. Because in my head, that's actually what I want more than anything, is some of the old experience that I had that I cannot get anywhere. I mean, anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was one of the first to pre-order the Mario All-Stars when they did that for the Wii, because I wanted to relive, you know, Super Mario Brothers 1 and 3.
Yeah.
I didn't play 2 until I was much older, so the experience is different. But
right.
But there's so many of those first and even second gen Nintendo games that don't exist anymore because they were only out for the one system and are gone.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't, I don't think it'd be too much, too far away. And I understand Virtual Console and the eShop and so forth to be able to purchase some of these. I don't like purchasing online a lot of these digital things.
Yeah.
My internet is not quite fast enough for it to be a viable option.
Well, and then there's the problem Nintendo has where they still don't – they're almost there, but they're still not 100% there with like a unified account where you'll be able to keep your purchases after you move on to another system.
Right.
And that's a big problem.
Because I know my spouse, she uses the eShop on the 3DS and has gotten quite a few really great old games that I love playing. I got to replay Excite Bike. I hadn't played that since I was probably 7 years old. It was still a fun game. It still is a fun game. It's not really a game to go through and master.
I still suck at it.
But it's fun, and I enjoy it. And so for Nintendo to really appeal to me, it's got the new games. It has done the new games that I would purchase. It's got the... Yeah, it'll have a new Zelda. It of course it will.
Yeah. You know,
the 3DS just came out with a Zelda. I haven't played it yet, and I kind of kick myself for it.
I've gotten my hands on it through Gamefly, and let me tell you, worth the money.
Yeah.
Well, I'm absolutely certain of it. Absolutely certain of it. The only Zelda I've not played is the Skyward Sword, and just because I haven't played it.
Yeah,
I haven't had time.
I don't think Gamefly's getting it back, is what I'm saying. I don't think they're getting it back from me. Because it's really good. So, but yeah, I get what you're saying. I think another big problem, obviously they did have this drought, but what console doesn't have a drought at launch?
Pretty much the only way they could not have a drought is if they say, okay, we're going to release the consoles in November of 2013.
Yeah.
And they tell everybody that, absolutely everybody, including the game developers.
Right.
And so the game developers all, are all trying to get their stuff done for launch winter stuff, and then they release it in November of 2014.
Yeah.
That's the... Not touch any of the specs. Have it ready to ship in 2013.
But then wait a year.
But then just delay it. Just make tons of these things so that there's no shortage of supply.
Yeah.
Everybody who has now waited a year and has stupid pre-ordered games that are going to sit on their shelves for 8 months, they've still got them. And then suddenly you have your thing and you've got a half a year's worth of games already on ready to go.
Yeah, but
that wouldn't fly. By the way, no one would accept that.
No,
yeah.
But
maybe only deliver to the people who pre-ordered.
I think that I think they also tripped up by not because now they're doing this marketing campaign where they're like, "Hey, the Wii U, it's totally a new console, you idiot." They should have that. I don't know. Back when it launched.
They should have a different name. I mean, the Wii U makes two things like an add-on for the Wii or something like that.
And that's a big problem because we had Wii Fit and Wii Motion Plus. So when they come out with Wii U, obviously people are going to think, the tablet is the U part. It's just an add-on, yeah. But yeah,
I think they ought to just start marketing it to higher education and call it the Wii University.
Yes. Every console comes with a copy of Big Brain Academy.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. Where the hell is Big Brain Academy? That was good on the Wii. Anyway. All right. Well, so right now, Nintendo looks like they're in dire straits. People are already on the Nintendo is doomed bandwagon, which is it's coming around for like the fifth or sixth time. But because this happens every time. You remember when the DS launched?
And the 3DS.
And the 3DS.
And the Wii. And the GameCube.
Yeah. And everyone was like, oh, there's no way Nintendo can compete. They're doomed. It's over. Nintendo's not going anywhere. I really doubt. Despite Cliff Bleszinski's pleas, I doubt that they're going to go third party anytime soon. But it could be different. I mean, now that Satoru Iwata's talking about smartphones and tablets, and he hasn't really said much about that, and, you know, Nintendo's got a lot of egg on their face. They really anticipated this to sell like gangbusters, and nobody's buying.
Well, I think that, unfortunately, I think Nintendo, I think they hit just kind of a magical console with the Wii.
Yeah.
Where it appealed so broadly, so big, that those people who bought into it and enjoyed it for a family console, they're still using it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't see a need to upgrade. The Wii U is not promising anything that the Wii didn't already promise.
Right.
I mean, higher graphics, more power, more online capability, and
but those people don't care about touchscreen.
That, and that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I'm saying, is that the things that the Wii U has in addition to the Wii don't appeal to the people who bought into the Wii.
Yeah. Well, they kind of, the last year the Wii was, you know, the year before the Wii U, they kind of ditched the Wii. It just completely dried up. They kind of just let it die. And so when they launched the Wii U, there's absolutely no momentum behind it. And that obviously hurt. But, well, we'll have to just kind of take a wait-and-see approach, I guess.
Well, and as you said, Nintendo's not going anywhere. They will go back to making playing cards if that's what it takes to keep the business going.
Yeah. Although the 3DS
and the next thing they make will probably strap to our face and be a miserable failure.
Because that's never happened before.
Wait a second. Maybe it'll all be red. No, green this time. It'll be green this time.
Yeah.
Yes, well, green is the future.
They should totally team up with the guys making the Oculus Rift.
Which I think is also going to be a massive failure. I don't care how cool it looks. I do not want to play a game with some shit strapped to my head.
No.
That's why I don't go to 3D movies.
Yeah.
That's why I won't buy Oculus Rift. I want as little between me and entertainment as possible, and having to wear a headset is right out.
Yeah, unless you give me some sort of, you know, Iron Man interface, you know.
That'd be cool, yeah.
You know, that I would, you know, totally use, but.
Well, steal Chad's verbiage. Keep as little between you and entertainment as possible. Go to geekcavepodcast.tumblr.com. And if you want to know more about the video game specific field, you should head to thegamefanatics.com and find Greg's articles there. He's the comic fanatic. And yes. I think we're just about done. So, Greg, I appreciate you joining in and sitting in for Justin.
Well, thanks for having me. Appreciate it. So.
And for Chad Savage and, of course, Kent Harris, I'm Darren Wright. Thanks a lot for listening to a brand new Geek Cave Skype cast. Remember, in early February, we're going to have a big giveaway. We've got the first season of Arrow, but you got to listen to the podcast to win. So we'll see you guys real soon. Remember, everyone's a geek for something.